Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Welcome to Bits About Books. Thank you for your time and for joining us in this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give you a shout out to each of you in our following episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Our guest today is Julie Hansen, and we speak about her book, Look Me in the Eye, Using Video to Build Virtual Relationships.
You know, when you're in front of another person, there's a piece of performance. You are yourself, but you want to be your best self, and you want to communicate your key points. And so there's lots that we can learn from acting. And so I've always brought that into the picture. And then, of course, when, you know, the pandemic hit, there was another piece of acting that really became pertinent, and that was, how do we talk to a camera and relate to people on the other side of it?
She's a virtual presentation expert and founder of Selling on Video Masterclass. She's also the author of Sales Presentations for Dummies and Act Like a Sales Pro. In addition to a career in sales, Julie worked as a professional actor, appearing in numerous commercials, films, and television shows, including HBO's Sex and the City. Now, on to this insightful episode with Julie Hansen. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So happy that we are talking again, and I'm glad that I sort of convinced you to come on this when I learned that you're writing this book. So welcome.
Thank you. It didn't take that much convincing, but I'm glad you thought of me.
So, I know of you, and you have been on our show and before, but still, for the listeners of this podcast, tell a bit about your background, your acting, and why you're so well qualified to talk about video and use of video as a communication medium. And then we'll sort of get into the book.
Okay, sure. So I started in sales, and actually I came from a buyer's background, which and then going into sales was very shocking because people are much more open to you when you're a buyer and they return your calls, and not so much in sales all the time. So right. I was a little put off by, you know, the rejection, I guess, and the having to be on and really have that confidence to go out and meet new people. And I thought, what can I do to help boost my confidence? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take an acting class. And so acting really got me out of myself, and it really helped me, you know, in an interesting way, find my own voice and my own, you know, authenticity, which I know people don't think of when they think of acting, but it really is instrumental in knowing yourself and being able to communicate effectively with other people. And so that really informed a lot of my sales practice, right? And the way that I approach things. And so I had a sales career, and I went into management, and I always used a bit of these acting techniques in my coaching and with salespeople and with myself. And so eventually, I guess about 12 years ago, I wrote a book about it, Act Like a Sales Pro, just, you know, how all those acting techniques apply to sales. Because really, you know, when you're in front of another person, there's a piece of performance. You are yourself, but you want to be your best self, and you want to communicate your key points. And so there's lots that we can learn from acting. And so I've always brought that into the picture. And then, of course, when, you know, the pandemic hit, there was another piece of acting that really became pertinent. And that was, how do we talk to a camera and relate to people on the other side of it. So that sort of led me into really focusing on this whole area of how do we build relationships through the camera in a way that we used to do so naturally face to face.
Right.
So that's was sort of the seed of the idea for the book.
I think it's extremely timely, and people are literally struggling with the idea of how do you build rapport through a camera. I mean, and we already know that there are things like, you know, what is called Zoom fatigue. So you are meeting so many people one after the other. It's like an endless series of images and words and you know, being thrown at you. And all of these are supposed to be not entertaining. It's supposed to be very serious stuff, which means, you know, you're switching off midway and it's a mess. And it's very stressful for people
yes.
on both ends of the camera. So
yes.
I cannot see how it could have been a better timed book. But let's dig in a little more, Julie. Tell me, when you thought that this is something I need to sort of articulate so that people can do better,
mm-hmm.
when did you start? How did you start?
Right. Well, you know, I saw everybody getting on, you know, getting all the tools and technology together, which is so important, right? And that's kind of where it stopped, you know, and technology can certainly connect us, but everybody was technically connecting, but they weren't really feeling connected. And so, you know, we saw a lot of people struggling with this. So I realized there's some basic things about being on camera that, you know, I knew just because I took on camera training as an actor, and which you need even if you are a stage actor, because it's a very different medium. So you can't go in and do the same thing on camera. It's the camera reads things differently, or, you know, as I always say, if the camera doesn't see it, it doesn't exist.
True.
So, and a lot of people don't realize that. Well, I was looking over here at my desk. Well, I don't know that. You could be looking at your dog. You could be reading an email. You know, if we were in person, I would still know that you're present. You're just looking at a picture on my desk, right? That we're still engaged. So all of these things that you know, there's no reason anybody would in sales would have a need to know until we got into this position. And so I saw companies, you know, getting people all technologically set up to connect, but not in a person-to-person, how do I actually connect with someone through the camera way? So that's when I started working with a lot of companies and their sales teams on how to connect on camera and some of the basics, you know, how do we make it easier for people to see us and hear us, and how do we use our face and our body language? And what became very evident was certainly that nobody feels comfortable doing this, right? And they have a lot, there's a lot of mixed messages about what, you know, well, just be yourself. Well, be bigger, be smaller, don't do this, do that. So I was trying to shine a light on, you know, what really works and taking it from the performance world to the business space. And as I worked with salespeople, I started to develop this idea for the book, it really evolved as I coach people, because they came in and said, you know, it's not just that it's difficult to, you know, look at the camera and read body language, but also, you know, our customers are so passive, right? People show up on virtual calls and they look so bored. It freaks me out. So I rush and get nervous, or, you know, we can't get them. Nobody will answer a question. All these other issues came up, which I was able to, you know, address, you know, in the book. How do we get people engaged and understanding that, you know, we're not used to how people appear on video, right? There's how we appear. We don't know how we appear, right? And so we often come across to our audience. We think we're coming across in a certain way, but, you know, we don't always know what our face is saying, what our body is communicating. And it's really important in this small piece of real estate to be aware of that and know that your intentions are matching your actions, because that's all the customer has to go on.
True.
Yeah. So it all came, you know, the crux of the book really came about because people were feeling so disconnected, and it became about, you know, why is it so hard to build a relationship on video? And how can we solve that? What is the, you know, and the reason is, you know, there's five things that I talk about in the book that are missing on video that are really key components of building a relationship, which is authenticity, making someone feel listening, right? Being credible, being attentive, being trustworthy, and showing empathy. And it's very difficult to do that on video. You can't do it the same way that you did in person. So you may be feeling really empathetic and like really, you know, hearing your customer. But if you are looking at your screen and your face is a complete blank, they don't feel like you're, you know, that doesn't read as empathy. So it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter what you feel like you're doing. If it camera doesn't read it, it doesn't, neither does your customer.
So true. And I think one point that you mentioned is very critical, because in the past, it's not that we are not doing WebEx or we are not doing Zoom and so on and so forth, or Skype for that matter. It's the fact that it was intermittent. So I would meet you in person, but I'll also do a Skype with you. So there was some connect from memories and from what we have done in the past. So you know me and I know you, and you know that, okay, this is how Shubhanjan behaves and so on and so forth. So there is some kind of embedded knowledge there, which helps us overcome some of these issues that you mentioned. But when you are not doing the in-person thing at all, I think all these things gets magnified, right?
Absolutely. And Harvard Business Review actually did some research at that and said, you know, building those new relationships on video has really been very difficult. You know, that's one of the most difficult areas, because you're like, you're right. We have, we can fill in the gaps with people we know. We give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Yeah, well, I know, you know, I know he's interested in me because I met with him in person. He's very, you know, empathetic and engaging. But we don't know to do that. We're with new people, right? So it's very difficult. And now as we move into even a more hybrid world where perhaps we're meeting with our customer virtually, but they're meeting with, you know, other vendors or other people live, they're going to naturally make those comparisons, right? So we really have to up our game. It's just not enough to be, you know, to turn your camera on today. It just isn't.
True. So true. So tell me, so you were talking to these companies and you were finding that they're sort of trying to overcome this problem, and you start bringing in your acting knowledge and your experience with the camera to emote or to communicate, and you start helping them. And at the same time, this book is sort of playing in your mind that maybe there is a reason to write a book on this. Then what happened?
Right.
How did you go out from there?
Well, you know, I started writing the book, you know, actually I put together a video course because I thought people need help right now. So I put together the videos, you know, Selling on Video Masterclass, which walks people through how to make eye contact, how to read body language, you know, just so we could, you know, help them get set up in the medium. Then I started thinking about the book, and as I wrote it, you know, initially it was, you know, a lot of the basics, you know, the foundational skills that I learned, which are certainly still important and still missing, even though people know what they should be doing. They're not doing them because a lot of it is counterintuitive. So the book really becomes about, okay, we know to look at the camera. Why is no one doing it, right? Why is it so hard? How can we make it easier? When should I look at the camera? How long do I need to look at the camera? So it's very tactical. You know, I realize that's what people need. That's what salespeople want to know. It's like, okay, I know I need to do this. Why am I stuck looking at the screen, right? How do I possibly read someone's body language if I'm looking at the camera? So it answers all those questions that came up when I was coaching salespeople on video. And then it really evolved. Just, you know, the book I started to write really became a much different book as we got further into the pandemic. And I realized, you know, at the core of this, it's not how do we talk to a camera, it's how do we build a relationship, right?
Right.
And that really inform the book and the techniques behind it. So with the, and if you believe in, you know, that sales is more than just a, you know, a product and a service, and it, and you're instrumental in connecting that person to it and making them feel excited about it or hopeful, then, you know, that's a relationship, and that needs to be fostered.
Absolutely. It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
It really started out with, okay, why is it so difficult to build a relationship? What constitutes a relationship? What are the qualities that build a relationship that are missing on video? And how do we make sure they're present? The technology I talk about is not so much specifically what technology you need, but how to use your tools, how to, you know, if you've got two screens, how to keep connected with your audience when you're switching screens, and all these issues that salespeople have when they're presenting to big groups or they're demonstrating software, right? There's some nuances there.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for Bits About Books and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode where we left it. So how did you go about structuring the book? You have 13 chapters. Oh. How did you go about doing that? I mean, obviously, this is something like you did the video course. So you already had a flow.
Right.
So you had that structure, so to say. Was it something that sort of manifested itself sort of linearly in the book, or did you work around it?
It followed a little bit of the masterclass, because there's certain fundamentals you need to know about how to talk to a camera and how to, as I call it, cheat for the camera, because the camera, you know, sees things differently, and so we have to show up differently. And it's no different than if you're presenting live and you have to cheat, you know, you have to stand a certain way so that people can see your slides, right? Yeah. And it's not always comfortable, but that doesn't mean it's wrong, right? Yeah. It's for the benefit of your audience. So it really started out with, okay, why is it so difficult to build a relationship? What constitutes a relationship? What are the qualities that build a relationship that are missing on video? And how do we make sure they're present? And so then I go into, you know, some of the technology I talk about is not so much, you know, specifically what technology you need, but how to use your tools, how to, you know, if you've got two screens, how to keep connected with your audience when you're switching screens, and all these issues that salespeople have when they're presenting to big groups or they're demonstrating software, right? There's some nuances there. And then going into, okay, you know, there's a chapter on eye contact, right? How do we make eye contact? And then how do we read body language if we're making eye contact? There's kind of a macro way to do it and a more micro way to do it. When should we look at our customer's face? And then there's a chapter on what does their face mean, right? Because as I said earlier, people's body language on video is very different. We don't feel, your audience doesn't feel as obligated perhaps to show up with the same level of attentiveness or visible attentiveness that they do in person. So how do we read that? How do we react? What is a warning sign? What is just the way people show up, right? We show up in a more a receiving mode when we're on the end of a virtual call, or especially if you say it's a presentation. It's like, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to get my popcorn and you're going to present to me, right?
Yeah,
so it's a much different experience. And then going into more the nuances of, okay, what about, you know, our face is the prime real estate here. So how are we using our, you know, expressions? What does our face say? How can we better support our message with our expression, with our voice, with our body language? What are the things that people are doing that are perhaps distracting people? Because there's already so many distractions that your virtual audience has. You don't want to add to that.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the biggest challenges, right? And especially if you're presenting to a group, people who are joining in from different places, it's extremely difficult to ensure that everybody's actually engaged, because everybody has the opportunity to look at their phone in the side and do a text and tweet and this and that, and to sort of engage them is a challenge. I mean, there's no two ways about it. People do it in a room when you're there and presenting. People still, they're messaging and they're doing stuff, right?
That's true. And it's just that much worse virtually. And you're right. And that's why, like, the last two chapters are about how do we manage engagement? How do we manage these presentations and these bigger meetings where we've got so many people we can't, you know, like you said, you can't, when you were a presenter live, you could go over and perhaps stand next to someone and, you know, so they know that they're part of the group, right? They're visible. Yeah. You can't do that, right? And so how do we make everyone in the meeting feel like you're talking just to them? And actually, that's one of the benefits of the camera that I don't see being used enough. And that is that it really is, the camera is an individual experience. So the mistake I see a lot of people making is thinking about, I've got a group of people on here and I'm trying to keep them all engaged. And so I'm sort of generally talking to them and I'm looking all over. But each person has their individual experience with you in their, a lot of times in their own space, right? And if I think about just talking to one person and I focus on that camera, everyone feels like you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And so that can increase that engagement and that attention right away. And so I give a lot of tools on how to improve interaction, which is such a challenge, and how to make sure your questions have a better chance of getting answered, because that's a very painful thing, I know, for salespeople. You throw a question out there and it's just, you know, crickets, right? End up answering their own questions. And once you do that, people are like, oh, I don't have to answer at all. They're going to answer their own questions.
True.
So how do we manage that?
Right. So I know you have covered some of these points already, but let's sort of go through the book, maybe pick up some chapters.
Okay.
Let's start with your first chapter, which is about missing the building blocks of the missing building blocks of virtual relationships. So what are these blocks that we are talking about here?
Well, some of the things are being authentic. Like, what helps build a relationship? What needs to be in place? And, you know, you're not going to feel comfortable building a relationship with somebody who doesn't seem like they're being themselves, right? And the problem with, you know, authenticity on camera is, again, the camera, you know, it only sees what it sees, right? And so if part of your personality is more apparent when you're in person, we don't get to see the full picture, right? And so how do you express that in this small space? And a lot of times people mistake authenticity on video with being very natural. You know, I just want to be myself, you know, which is a great impulse. We don't want to be somebody we're not. But when we start thinking about being natural, then we get sort of comfortable, right? And we want to be comfortable. And when we're comfortable, you know, we get, our energy gets down and we're a little more laid back. And that doesn't read well on camera. That, because the camera already takes off a percentage of energy just because of the flatness and the distance. So if you're, you know, being just kind of laid back, that doesn't look to your customer like you're engaged.
Right.
So we need to be authentic, but we need to be, you know, in a place where we're authentically engaged. Like, how do we show up when we're really passionate about something and we're excited about a conversation? That's the authenticity. That's the state we're looking for.
Right.
So that's one of the qualities. And I would say the other one is, you know, there's five of them, but I would say, you know, listening is really key. And you know, you would never, if you were, I would hope, if you were sitting, you know, face to face with your customer, you would never stare at their shoes while they're telling you a really serious problem. Would you? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
But we do the equivalent of that on video all the time.
Yeah.
And we feel so strongly that we're listening, and the customer's like, gee, you know, it doesn't feel good. They may sort of know you're looking at the screen, but on an emotional level, it doesn't feel like you're, you know,
true,
being heard.
Let's move on. Let's talk about this new way to read body language. So that is another thing. I mean, how do you read body language in video?
First of all, we have to realize that, you know, especially if you have a big group, you're never going to be able to read everybody's body language. It's not like, you know, it's just the odds of catching somebody in a meaningful expression or movement is pretty low. There's a couple ways to read body language. And the first one is looking at your camera and having your images set up so that you can see out of your peripheral vision. Like, I can see you nodding. I can see you, you know, smiling.
Yeah.
We can see an awful lot with our peripheral vision. So you will see if someone turns to, you know, because someone's out of the room or you've lost them. You'll see major movements and expression changes.
Right.
So for the most part, if you keep your focus on the camera, you will see some of those major movements. Now, occasionally we do want to check in on a more micro level, which is fine to get a read on, you know, some, if I've said something, I might be curious as to the reaction. I might want to, you know, check. There's some places that you can do that and get away with it. I call it your sneak peeks, which is like when you're changing a slide, right? When there's some movement on the screen, people's eyes will be drawn to that and not necessarily your image, right? So that's a good time to kind of read your audience, see what's going on. When another speaker is, you know, kind of taking the stage. But for the most part, you want to bring your eye contact back to the camera. And what you do is you start to trust, as you practice with your peripheral vision, you start to trust that, you know, if you say, unless you say something really controversial or, you know, just out of left field, most people are going to react the way you expect them to react, right?
True.
So if we need to kind of let go of that, I need this constant, you know, support of what I've said. I need constant affirmation, right? Because those little nuances, those nonverbal signals where people nod or go, or even the small verbal ones like, you're not going to hear them. You're not going to see them. And you have to carry on as if you did.
Right.
Especially if your customer isn't on camera. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier on with Zoom fatigue, a lot of people are choosing not to be on video, you know, our customers, which is okay for them. That's their choice. It'd be better if they were, but we can't force that. So we have to get comfortable with talking to that camera as if we're seeing our customer. And I always tell people, imagine the best possible reaction, because that's going to bring out the best in you. There's no upside to going, oh God, I bet he hates this, right? He thinks this is, because then, you know, you get small and nervous and shut down. So it's kind of managing that camera and that micro,
right,
macro view and then the micro view.
Yeah, it's quite intricate actually when you say it and you explain actually, and so much is going on, especially in a multi-party kind of call, and really having the focus that I need to continue to deliver without getting the response. It is sort of like when you are a stage actor and become a film actor first. It is like that.
Yes.
You don't get the affirmation from the audience at all.
Right. It's very much. And that was what's so shocking. And it's even, you know, and sometimes film actors, sometimes you're saying your lines just to the camera and the other actor isn't even there. Right. So that's part of the, you know, I call it a broken communication loop, because we're used to that communication loop is we say something, we get some, you know, the other person receives it.
Yeah.
We get some response or feedback that they have received it correctly. And then we respond to that.
Hmm.
Well, now we've cut out this whole piece of, we don't get that feedback, right? We don't know if they received it. We don't, and we can't constantly ask, does that make sense? Does that make sense? Did you hear that? you'll drive people crazy, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, give yourself those affirmations by projecting that your audience is going, huh, that's interesting. Tell me more, right? And that feeds you and it creates a more dynamic dialogue, as it were.
Yes. So you also talk about managing attention, which is part of what we just now discussed. So this is what it is mm-hmm. about. Talk a bit about staying connected when using notes, slides, or screens. So what are we talking about here?
Right. So, you know, I see a disturbing trend with presenters, and that they're starting to read their slides on video, and not necessarily because they need to, but because they're right there, right? Mm. It's just so easy to go, you know, to access your slides. And so just because they're in front of your face does not give you permission to read from your slides, right?
Or
your notes. So it's, but a lot of times we need notes or we need, you know, a script or something to cue us to what's next, especially if we've got a more complex meeting and different topics. Hmm. And that's fine. But the way to use them is different on video, because you don't want to ever read from a script, because, you know, people know that. And plus, even if it's on your screen and you think you're getting away with it, your eyes are moving side to side and your natural inflection is not there when you read from a script. So
True.
We know, people know. So if you're using a script, you know, I would just have it handy and have it either on your screen or, you know, print it out next to your screen or in front of you. And, you know, if you find you need some information, you just, you know, glance to it, you know, and you want to have enough familiarity with your script that you kind of know where things are. And all you have
right.
to do is, often for me, it's just, I see a trigger word or two and go, oh yeah. Right. And I'll see it. And then I'll instead of like starting to talk, as most people do when they see their notes, oh, yeah, so we're going to help you increase sales by blah, blah, blah. I'll get the information in my head and I'll deliver it back to the camera. So you just take a moment, you take a beat to find it, get in your head, and then speak to the camera, as opposed to kind of talking while you're moving around or looking elsewhere. It's much more impactful.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, because so many times we think that if we take a moment's pause, somebody else is going to come into the conversation and we'll sort of lose our chance to speak. So that kind of a psychology sort of works in the mind, I guess.
Right. There's definitely not enough pausing on video. People are, as I say, it's a punctuation free zone. People are just talking because we're so afraid of that silence, because usually nobody says anything.
Mm.
And so we just keep going. Right. And so it's not a bad thing to pause once in a while, whether it's to find your place, get your information, then deliver it to the camera. It might give people a chance to like digest or, you know, think about what you said, come up with a question. And, you know, for us as presenters, I think that silence is it's magnified. Right. So as an audience, if somebody, and this is the same thing when people, you know, are trying to share something and they're like, oh gosh, it'll just be a minute. I know it's coming up. It's like, you know, I've been on enough presentations. I know that it takes a little bit for a slide to come up, right?
Yeah.
I'm not panicking.
Hmm.
So I don't want you as the presenter to panic either.
Sure.
And just taking that time and realizing like, you know, for a presenter, you know, that's 7 seconds is forever. It's like, oh my gosh, I bet they think I've forgotten why I was here. And for an audience, they're just, you know, they're like thinking about what you said, maybe thinking about a question, maybe, if you're silent for 20 seconds, they might start to worry.
Sure.
But,
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great. So what has been the response to the masterclass? So that's sort of what would give you an indication of what the likely response is going to be for the book, right? So
yes,
tell us a bit about what your masterclass students have been telling you about the class.
It's been great. I think there's a lot of aha moments, and just because people struggle with things, and it's like you're struggling with them privately, right? Mm. You're in your home office, and you're like, I don't know why this feels uncomfortable. I don't know why I'm not being able to engage with people. And so there's a sense of relief, like, oh, I get it, right? And there's a way to practice it. So I find a lot of those aha moments are from the assignments where I ask them to, you know, record themselves doing a short exercise and then review that and see, you know, where they might improve or things, specific things to focus on, which keeps people really focused on improvement. Because the one thing about being on video is it's a very vulnerable thing to see yourself, right?
True.
And most people are very harsh critics. So it's very hard to be objective and constructive. And so I help them break it down in a way like, how do I view just specific parts, more like a director, like looking at a performer and going, well, what did that person do well? And what could she do better? You know, where did I disconnect? Not just, you know, if we look at ourselves, we're often like, oh, that was terrible. And oh, my hair. And, you know, we just get into the weeds on all these things that don't really necessarily matter. So I make them focus on what matters to your customer. How are you? Is this, you know, is this helping your relationship or is this disconnecting you?
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
I think there's a very large impact of what this can do than we will give it credit for. This is a necessary skill that you need to pick up and do well.
Right. It is. It's right. It's just not like it would be nice if you were better on video. No, you need to be better on video, right?
Exactly.
And it's all about really, you know, as you said, kind of that next level. How do we create as near an in-person experience on video as possible? Because that's what we're competing with, and that's where the bar is going to be.
Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes with great conversations on breakthrough books by Andrea Worlds, Mike Kunkel, and many others. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.